Why would a young college rugby star with exceptional business savvy become a campus missionary? He's one of a new breed of disciples. I'm Brian Patrick. As we continue our series on becoming disciples, Young Guns, with special guest Focus team leader Dominic Pellucci, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on Becoming Disciples, Young Guns, and here's our Crossing the Goal team. The Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz, our coach here on Crossing the Goal. Young Guns, these are guys that are out there on the front lines with you, Curtis.
They are, and this is a vitally important show for us because it brings home the whole issue of discipleship we're talking about. Universities are the leverage point in our culture, and Dominic's going to show a great example of what it means to place a man out on a college campus or in the middle of the culture, right where we need to be at these pivot points to draw men into discipleship.
I mean, it's a leverage point because it's a battlefield. I mean, we all know, every disciple knows that life on earth is a battle between the two kingdoms, but on campuses today, there's a ferocious battle, and what people describe called a culture war. And there's what's really going on, as a disciple understands, the battle is for eternal souls. And what God is doing, the Lord is raising up in this new springtime of Christian life, young, courageous disciples to be present on the campuses and witness to the Lordship of Christ. Very exciting.
Well, it's not only the present time. Some of us old goats, too, back yeah. on college campuses, yeah. I had no one to evangelize me. I ran into problems on college campuses. I had nowhere to turn but the wrong place.
Yeah.
And as I travel around the country and speak various places, I find that a lot of guys get in trouble in their college years. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to this program.
And I know you guys are going to really appreciate meeting Dominic Pellucci. He is with our Curtis Martin in the game plan next here on Becoming Disciples, Young Guns on Crossing the Goal.
All right, here goes.
All right, man.
Life will be up. Found it.
I'm Curtis Martin. We're back. I'm here with a good friend of mine, in fact, one of the dynamic leaders in our program, Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Dominic Pellucci is from a great Catholic family in Denver and a really exciting example of the future and the hope of the church. And Dominic, we're here today. I want to talk to you a little bit about the decision to become a missionary. It's a life less ordinary.
Sure, yeah.
It came from a great starting point, but you were actually in Europe, you were telling me, in Rome, and you were praying. You're thinking about what was going on in your life. Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I was over there, and there were plenty of times, I mean, the way my family brought me up, I was doing the things I was supposed to do, but only because I was supposed to do them. And there were plenty of kind of double standards I was living, and really at a point where I was very lonely a lot of the time, and really searching out what God was calling me to. And I thought, if I knew my vocation, then that's what was going to make me happy. But in Rome one day, sitting after Mass, I don't really remember what I was thinking about or praying about, but it was as clear as God's voice has ever been to me. And it wasn't a vision or anything like that. But in my head, he said, Dominic, you don't love me enough to love a woman the way she deserves to be loved. And until you figure that out, I'm not going to show her to you. And that, I mean, that rocked my world. God was always this aspect way out here. But to make that personal was something different for me. And so I spent definitely that next semester and the next couple of years really figuring out what that meant and what that looked like to love Christ concretely.
And that led to a lot of service activities. In fact, to my great blessing, Focus' great blessing, led you to join staff, and now you're a missionary with Focus on college campus. And I'm sure, you know, after you have that type of intense experience, God calling you, hey, look, you need to give me more of your heart, you must have become like the perfect missionary at that point, right?
Not quite. There are definitely a few ups and downs in there along the way. And even coming into campus, really feeling that call that God was calling me to serve others. Through Focus on campus, I came onto the campus really looking forward to, okay, I'm gonna win these people over to me, and feeling like I'm a pretty friendly and personable person. They'll really like me, and then I can show them Christ and they'll like him too.
How'd that work for you?
Well, not so well. I fell on my face really hard the first couple weeks and just really felt like everything I'd ever had was stripped and didn't know what was wrong. One morning woke up and didn't want to get out of bed and looked up to the crucifix on my wall and really realized that I had to put it on Christ and that he was going to have to start working. And I'd go back out there every day, but if he wasn't working in their hearts, I wasn't going to be able to do anything.
Wow, and that really is the sense of the missionary to recognize. It's a great lesson in evangelization. A lot of times we sit back and say, well, I don't know if I'm capable. You're right, none of us are. But if we trust in Christ, then God can do amazing things through us. So we're out on the college campus. We follow a model of win, build, send. Winning people to Christ and to the church and then building them up in the practice of faith.
Sure.
And sending them out to do the same. Let's talk a little bit about that first step. I mean, because this is where a lot of people just trip on evangelization and discipleship. How do I actually go out and draw people into a relationship? What does a win look like on the college campus?
Yeah, well, I mean, first you see there just with my story what that looked like. My heart had to be won over first. I had to really desire Christ first in my heart, and then I could go out and start to share him with other people. But I had to have confidence in that first, and then really just through building relationships with guys on campus, doing everything that everyday thing that guys like to do.
So is it primarily like inviting them to go to church with you?
It may take a little while to get to that point. A lot of times it's out on the football field, going to the gym, rock climbing, going on trips, camping trips, all these kind of things that are so important.
I mean, I love the way the fact that we just try to get into people's lives, find what they're passionate about, what we're passionate about, and where those intersect, as long as they're not sinful, that's where we want to be, and to draw them in. And what if we, because now we go out on college campus and it used to kind of be, you know, just shotgun, let's go get anybody we can. But there's an insight that you really have lived out at the University of Connecticut where you're serving, and an insight with regards to winning people. And what is that insight as far as trying to, you know, figure out how to get to people?
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of times I'll be out on campus or even not on campus, out at, maybe it's at the bar. And really investing in people's lives. And the more time I spend with them, the relationship I have with them, then it gives me more opportunities to share what Christ has done in my life, starting to build up those things slowly.
You know, it's an important point. We talk about going out to the bar, and I think a lot of people out there probably saying, all right, what are you doing? But we got to recognize Christ went where sinners were.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not that you're going out and put and drinking with them. You're going out and having maybe a drink with them, but you got to go where people are. And then we also recognize that people are gathered already, you know, and so we've got this whole issue of affinity groups. What's the insight there?
So a lot of times what we've done in the past is going out and we have to win all these people over, make these friendships, right? But so many times God's already placed people in our lives that we can reach out to. On a college campus, maybe my first year there, I have to build those relationships. But a lot of people I can go back to, say in the summer, back home, and I have a group of friends. And those are people God's already put in my life that I can start investing in and sharing what Christ has done in my life.
And what I love about that is affinity groups occur everywhere, not just on college campuses. There are affinity groups in the workplace, in the parish, in the neighborhood. And once we learn how to reach out to an affinity group, once you've reached a leader in that group, they begin to evangelize themselves. And that's such a powerful tool. Now, we then go on and build and send young students so that they're actually built up in their knowledge and practice the faith so they can be sent out and win other people and begin the whole process over again. But I'd like to jump tracks just a little bit, because one of the ways that we win and build people is through missions, and you've been actively involved in our foreign mission program. Tell me a little bit about your experience there.
Yeah, so with missions, it's definitely a different aspect. You get someone out of their comfort zone, and you're in a foreign country, whether that's for a week or maybe a month to 6 weeks. They have nothing to fall back onto when Christ comes into their life. They see Christ. They can't go back to the things they're comfortable with. And all they have to fall back on is the people that they're there with, us and Christ.
So where have you been on mission?
I've been all over the place. I've been to El Salvador a few times. I've been to Peru. I was in Ghana for a month this summer, and in Mexico as well.
It's amazing to watch how we're bringing young people out of their comfort zone and into mission to be able to find Christ and then bring them back so they can discover Christ in their world where they have already been living, and also recognize the poverty that's right in front of them that they may have missed. We're going to talk more about that in the red zone, but I want to thank you, because working with you and folks like you has been an encouragement in my last 13 years with Focus. So thanks for your service to Christ. Brian?
Right, great game plan, Curtis and Dominic. That's a sharp young man, Coach.
Well, these guys make Curtis look good. Come on, Curtis, you're lucky, brother.
Yeah, he definitely elevates their game, no doubt about it. But anyway, I wanted to just say, a couple old cowboys, we better get down there and hang out with the young guns. You can handle it.
I think you guys ever play rugby?
No, I don't want to.
All right, scrum in the red zone, next.
Scrumming, yeah.
All right, we are in the red zone here on Crossing the Goal, Becoming Disciples, Young Guns, with Dominic Pellucci, a Focus team leader, and Curtis Martin. Do you guys, how many of these guys do you have in Focus?
Over 300, but 150 guys, and they're just, Dominic is a great example of what we're talking about. So it's a real blessing. People should have a lot of hope about what's going on in the college campus.
Yeah, we do. Dominic, what happens in the day in the life of a Focus missionary, and what do you do?
Well, I mean, every day we try and center ourselves with the most important thing in our life, and that's our relationship with God. That comes through prayer. So every day we commit to an hour of prayer.
An hour.
And we do that, at UConn at least, we do that as a team every day. And after that, there may be a few things we need to catch up on as a team, kind of strategy or what our plans are for the rest of the day. And the rest of the day is really spent with students, doing what they do, meeting them where they're at. Whether that's with guys, a lot of times that's sports, like I said a little bit earlier. And investing in their lives, going to different clubs maybe on campus, eating meals with them, sharing life.
So you win them over by going to where they are. How do you make that transition from doing what they do, the fun stuff, to introducing Christ?
Yeah, a lot of that in my own life was trial and error and asking other guys who had done this before me. So finding other missionaries. That's why we're not there on the college campus by ourselves, but we really try and set ourselves up for success in that we have other brothers to lean on, which is so important. But then you move from winning them over, you start to gain that trust, and I can start to share how Christ has affected my own life. And maybe these guys wouldn't have been jumping to go to a Bible study or something right then. But if I can build up enough trust in them, maybe they'd come and spend an hour with me looking into Scripture. And then really you got to put it all on Christ and let Him do the work in their hearts. Because as good or as bad as I say anything, it's never what's going to change something.
And that idea of reaching out through relationship interaction is very effective. I mean, are all the guys that come to your Bible studies, are they all practicing Catholics?
No, definitely not. I mean, well, first, practicing Catholic is an interesting term on a college campus, because there's a very small number of people that go to Mass every Sunday even. So people that are Catholic might not be practicing, so there's those Catholics. And then there's a lot of Protestants too. We've even had Muslims, atheists, agnostics, Jews come to our Bible studies, which make for a really interesting dynamic to get that perspective.
So. Now, I want to jump track just a little bit, because we've had a lot of fun talking with you about kind of the well-rounded experience you've had. You were in Africa this past summer. Yep. And I love this example of kind of, you know, our males who are religious wimps, but you were out on the mission in Africa and you had an experience. Something was up in a tree, I think. What was it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had just finished up breakfast and I see one of the Africans whacking at a tree with a long bamboo stick. Go over and see what's going on, and there's a cobra up on the top of the tree, probably 7 or 8 foot long. Spitting cobra. Ooh. And all of the Africans were scurrying out of their homes. They're freaked out about this thing.
And I've been with them.
Yeah.
And we started throwing rocks at it to try and knock it out of the tree, to try and kill it. And eventually knocked it out of the tree and pinned it with a stick. And one of the guys with us ran over with a machete and chopped its head off.
Jeez. A classic job description. Yes. Missionary. Yes. Not to kill us, but
cobra killer.
And he's now got the head mounted in his dorm room just to impress guys when they come in. No?
Let me ask you, you know, out here for parents and that are looking for colleges for their child, and also the child, what should they be looking for in the university?
Sure. I mean, a lot of times I think people see that the academic area is the most important area of one's college formation, when really that's only going to get us to a certain point in life. If there's not that faith-building aspect that they can be around, they're not going to get to the most important thing in life, and that's what comes next. And so when looking into a college, I mean, my own experience, I was able to go to a great Catholic college, Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. And just the people that I was around there really helped me kind of stay straight, even through many ups and downs at times. Mm-hmm. But then also looking what other kind of campus outreaches are available there, campus ministries, seeing what the priests are like on campus.
You know, you don't look so much like a rugby player. And I was wondering how the guys on the rugby team there reacted to you and the way you exhibit your faith.
Yeah, sure. It's two different aspects. I played both at Benedictine and then I played at University of Connecticut as well.
Oh.
And so at Benedictine, a lot of those guys are Catholic, and a lot of guys striving for the same things, most of the time. At UConn is definitely a little different. I had a huge beard that I'd been growing for 5 months, and they all knew I was from the church. And it's definitely kind of a touchy topic with a lot of them, but my nickname on the team was Jesus. And I don't know, I mean, there's still, it's kind of cool to see some of those guys, some of those relationships continuing to go.
Yeah.
But everyone is striving for truth, and it's great to see guys looking into that.
What are the needs of a young man today on college campuses? You're meeting guys, and you've got them engaged, they're friends with you now, and they want to move forward in their faith. What's the average college student dealing with that you've had impact with and met with?
I mean, guys are dealing, every guy knows what you go through in college. There's sexual temptation, things with masturbation, there's drinking, drugs, all these things. It's hardly anyone on a college campus is exempt or doesn't run into these situations. And men need other men, and they're really seeking that out to have people in their lives that to hold them up.
Isn't pornography, I keep hearing, that's a huge deal on college campuses too that guys are fighting with?
Yeah, definitely it is. I mean, there's I think very few men that are in college that aren't dealing with these things, and there definitely need to be just other men standing up to support each other and to lead, to hold each other accountable in these areas and really strive for greatness. Yeah. Strive
Do you ever
for something
feel
better.
Really outnumbered as a focused missionary on a large secular campus when you know the campus culture? Does it ever hit the day where it's like, this is a useless, you know, this
yeah,
is hopeless?
There's so many days that you can look at those things and kind of be, there's so many thousands of people that Christ hasn't maybe touched their heart yet. But then what I always try to come back to are those people's lives that have changed.
Yes.
And that fruit God is bringing about every day. The crazy stories that you have no idea why they happen or why this guy walks in the door and has this passion for Christ all of a sudden that I didn't do anything different. But that Christ really is working, and it's encouraging to see.
It's fun to watch the impact ripple as well. I mean, to talk a little bit about maybe the growth you experienced last year on campus working with the team there at UConn, and at the beginning of the year and then by the end of the year, because it is, we've got to make incremental steady progress in order to reach our goal here of presenting the gospel to everybody.
Exactly, yeah. There's so many times where day-to-day basis, if we're looking at it like that, we don't feel like we're having a huge impact. But when you can take a step back and look back on the past month, the past semester, and really the past year, you can really see what Christ is doing. Last year at Connecticut, we really had 6 students that were really set on reaching out to others and discipleship, these student leaders to work with, and maybe 15 or 20 students in Bible study. Throughout the course of the year, those 6 became 23, and those 15 to 20 ended up 90 to 100 that were attending an hour Bible study every week. So you can just really see
great
how
progress.
Christ has impacted.
Yeah. You know, Dominic, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I know that there's other guys out here looking at you and say, you know, I'd like to be a focused leader. How do I go about that? I know it wasn't easy for you to come along. Tell us how someone could get involved like you are on campuses. I know you would love
That's
to see
That's a great question, Danny.
Yeah, exactly.
Focus commercial.
Curtis planted that.
Right there. No, there's, if you're not on a Focus Campus, obviously if you are and you know missionaries, go and talk to those missionaries. If not, our application is upline on www.focus.org, and you can go check out our website, see a little bit more about what Focus does, how we reach out to college students for Christ, and look at the application. It's definitely just the process of going through the application for me would have been life-changing, I think, even if I hadn't become a missionary, just because it really made me look at not just what I believe, but why I believe the certain things I do about my faith.
Yeah, maybe so. Curtis or you could address this. Athletes, you know, outgrow them. You can only be an athlete until you're so old. Is there anything with Focus, an age limit? Hey, have you reached that point yet where kind of guys, people outgrow it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly a sense in which young men and young women, we have men and women both serving, are going to have a prime period of time right after graduation for a few years. But there are those extraordinary people who are still very relevant 8, 10, 12 years later. And I think the one in 100,000, one in a million that can be very good even in their 40s and 50s. But it is, for the most part, a peer apostolate.
Yeah.
That's where Dominic's work is so important, why he's, you know, much more relevant. The best person in the world to lead a college student is a recent college graduate.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that all this discipleship training will follow you through life.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
Plenty more.
It can't be something that stops on the college campus. It has to. We have to be preparing men and women to go out into the world and do the same thing in their families with their friends.
Well, you're an inspiring young gun.
Yes.
Thank you, Dominic.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate sharing your story here on Crossing the Goal. These guys are going to get a last word coming in the end zone next. Stay with us for more of Crossing the Goal.
A lot of meat. I was thinking about that. You might be coming with that line in there, but absolutely.
This is the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. Becoming disciples, young guns. We're talking about those dynamic young disciples that are out there. Time for the last word on this topic as we start with Peter Herbeck.
It's first very encouraging to hear Dominic and to see at some point in his young life he came to terms with whether or not he was a disciple living for the Lord. And that's a key question to being able to respond to the call to mission. Here's Pope John Paul II, great exhortation he gave. He said to be a witnesses of Christ in words and deeds is a responsibility to be shared by all the baptized. How is it possible to give what you do not have? How can we talk about Christ and create a desire to know him if we're not first his disciples? That's what this program has been all about.
That's a great point. Always great to hear the quotes from the Holy Father. There's a statement in here from St. Paul that I'd like to highlight, which is really the essence of what we mean by discipleship, of first of all receiving a relationship with Jesus Christ and then sharing it with others. Listen to St. Paul speak to his disciple, St. Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Our goal is to teach teachers how to teach the faith to others.
I like to speak to parents out here, the ones that are looking for their children a university to go to. I think you need to guide them. I know sometimes they, oh, mom, dad, let me do this. Yeah, they got to make the ultimate decision, but you can guide them in the right direction. And one other thing, when our children went away to college, there's two things I asked of them. One, stay close to Jesus Christ. Two, watch who you hang around with.
Thanks, Coach Curtis and Peter and to Dominic Pellucci. Now we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum. We talked about young guns this time. Next time on Crossing the Goal, Never Too Late with Larry Meggs. We hope you'll join us next time here on Crossing the Goal.